translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Srila Goswami said, when Sukadeva Goswami was thus requested by the king to describe the creative energy of the personality of Godhead, he then systematically remembered the master of the senses, Sri Krishna, and to reply properly, he spoke thus. Purport. The devotees of the Lord, by delivering speeches and describing the transcendental attributes of the Lord, do not think that they can do anything independently. They think that they can speak only what they are induced to speak by the Supreme Lord, the master of the senses. The senses of the individual being are not his own. The devotee knows that such senses belong to the Supreme Lord and they can be properly used when they are employed for the service of the Lord. The senses are instruments and elements are ingredients, all endowed by the Lord. Therefore, whatever an individual can do, speak, see, etc., is under the direction of the Lord only. The Bhagavad Gita 15.15 confirms this. Savasya charanradi sanivishto mata smritigano apananam cha. No one is free to act freely and independently. And as such, one should always seek the permission of the Lord to act or eat or speak. By the blessing of the Lord, everything done by a devotee is beyond the principles of the four defects typical of the conditioned soul. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshu Sumilitam Jena Tasmi Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Jaitanya Mano Bishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Upagadamayam Dadati Svabdantikam Nama Om Vishnu Bidaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pujarine Vijay Sunivadi Pashti Chardesa Tarine Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya. So I'd just like to ask permission from all the Vaishnavas that I can speak and say something constructive. I'm mainly here for my own benefit. But if you get something, even a little thing, from what I say, then it's all good, I suppose. Hare Krishna. So what's happening here? Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadev Goswami a very important question about the creation of the universe. And before Sukadev Goswami replies, there's a slight pause. So what is he thinking? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he's thinking, oh, Rishikesh, he's the one that inspires all my senses. So let him become situated in my words before I speak. and then I can answer the question. So this is the mentality of a devotee compared to a non-devotee. A devotee, he understands that everything he has, including these senses, including the intelligence, is all coming from Krishna. Because Krishna is the master of the senses. Sarvapadi vinir muktam tat paratvena nimalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti uchate. And in order to understand spiritual knowledge, we need to use our senses in the service of the Lord. So we have spiritual senses, but they are covered at the moment by the three modes of material nature. and the devotee, he understands how these senses work exactly. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, it says they are connected to the elements, the senses. So our senses, devotee understands that the sense of smell is connected to the earth, because from the earth comes vegetables and flowers. Without the earth, you won't be able to smell. The sense of sight is connected to is connected to the sun, because without the sun, we won't be able to see. the sense of taste is connected to water, and this is why the tongue is wet. The sense of touch is connected to ether, or the ear. So when you go like this, you can feel. Right? Without the ether, you wouldn't be able to feel anything. Sense of hearing. Ether. No, touch is sky. Right? Got it wrong now, isn't it? Touch is air. Yeah, that's it. Giant. So the devotee knows that where these elements come from. Where do they come from? They come from Krishna. And without these elements, I can't even use these senses. I'm not going to be able to see, can't hear, can't speak, can't do anything. Right? It's just like when you're driving a car. If you know how the engine works, it's easier to be more conscious when you're driving, right? You hear a little knock or something, and immediately, you know, you may know what it is. So you pull over. So a devotee understands how they work, and he understands where they come from, and what he must do, who he must serve, who are the senses for. But the non-devotees, they don't have no understanding where anything comes from. As soon as we're born, we forget. Anta prista sasta jananam. Prabhupada quotes that in the purport to the verse 15:15. Savasya chamridi sanyavisto mata smriti gyanam upananam cha. That Krishna's in the heart. And from Krishna comes remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So when anta prista sasta jananam, when someone dies, they go into a new body, they forget everything. But Krishna's in the heart. And Krishna makes you remember everything. This is why you don't need to teach a baby how to walk or talk or speak. There's no schools in the world, right? From 0 to 2 year olds, we'll teach you how to walk and talk and speak. I'm sure someone will come up with it one day to make a bit of money. But we don't need it. Unless someone has learning difficulties, that's different. But even then, Krishna still gives them some ability. It may not be full ability, but it's some ability. The trees know how to bud just at the right time in spring. It'd be very soon you start seeing like these flower buds and the trees coming up. The birds, the geese come, are they already here? Passing stall everywhere, right? They come, where do they come from? They come from Canada, right? They fly all the way from Canada. So how do they get here? They don't have a sat nav. The scientists say it's animal instinct. But Prabhupada said, no, this is useless. Atheism. Atheistic philosophy. No, it's Krishna in the heart. Showing them the way. So everything's happening automatically. We don't need to make any effort, really. Krishna is omnipresent. He's within the heart of every living entity, even within the atom. Trillions and trillions. Trillions. Living entities with this entire universe. And he's showing them everything. So what we've done in our previous lives, wherever punya, wherever pious activities, it's automatically rewarded in this life. With little endeavor. We don't have to make much endeavor. Whatever's due to us is going to come. Generally speaking. I mean, you have to make the little endeavor to get it. But it's already predestined. It's coming. That's Krishna giving us everything. What we deserve and what we desire. So there's two functions of the super soul. Upadrasta anumanta. So what is it, 1323, Bhagavad Gita. Upadrasta anumanta cha bata bhaktam heshvara. Paramat meti chapi yukto dehosmin purusho para. So upadrasta means seer. So Krishna is the seer. He's the seer of every living entity in the universe. Anumanta, that he rewards, he sanctions. Yeah. Upadrasta, anumanta. So the example is given of the two birds in the tree. Yeah. The jiva bird is eating the fruit on the field of activities. And the other bird is simply watching. That's Krishna, just watching. But the difference is, between them, is that the jiva, he doesn't remember anything from his previous lives. Even though we've been in this material universe for trillions and trillions of years, he doesn't remember anything, but Krishna remembers everything. He remembers every single thing that we thought about trillions of years ago, right? But if you ask someone, what were you doing yesterday? if you ask a devotee, what were you doing this time last year? Let's say I was in Bhagavatam class. What were you doing this time 5 years ago? I was in Bhagavatam class. So you can't really ask the devotee that question. It's funny, I did this calculation. How long would it take to go through the whole Bhagavatam from the first canto to the end of the 12th canto? And if we're giving class once a week, 5 days a week, it came to 69 years. But obviously, you've got to take away all the verses without purports. So even then, 69, maybe it'll take 50 years, right? So now I was thinking, in 50 years' time, we could have died and taken birth 3 or 4 times and still be sitting in the same Bhagavatam recitation. So if you ask a devotee, what were you doing in your last life this time? They say, I was in Bhagavatam class. You can't really ask a devotee that question. Maybe you're in a different universe, so it's time zone is different. But the point is, we don't remember anything, but Krishna remembers everything. Yeah. So Krishna wants to bring us back to our senses, to our real senses. When someone says, I'm going to knock the sense out of you. Yeah. What does that mean? Yeah. But Krishna wants to knock the sense out of us. He wants to knock the material senses out and to develop our spiritual senses. So he's even guiding the non-devotees. Right? In many ways, everyone. I mean, we experience this all the time on Sankirtan, how he sends people. Even though Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna only, as a super soul, he only rewards our desires. So if a non-devotee, obviously they're not going to have any spiritual desires. Their desires are only going to be material. So that's the only thing Krishna's giving them. So the question may be raised, how do people get the opportunity to become Krishna conscious? Then that's the devotee's mercy. The pure devotee comes, Srila Prabhupada comes, and he's giving everyone the opportunity to take up Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. And we are all representing the acharyas, the previous acharyas. In other words, that mercy is now going to come through us. Prabhupada's mercy is coming through us. Right? Sometimes we hear, the Krishna conscious movement is going to spread anyway. So why do I need to make an effort? We do for our own benefit, and also because this material world is a very dangerous place. Why do we need to keep people waiting? Because we're not there, isn't it? Once I was distributing books in Exeter, and this boy came over to me. I gave him a book, gave him an SSR. And he said, oh, funny thing. He said, oh, I've been sitting in my room for 2 weeks doing nothing. And probably playing on computer games. That's what kids do these days. He said, I've been doing nothing. And all of a sudden, I had this urge to want to just get on a bus, tram. Actually, they got trams. Get on a tram and come into town. He said, I don't know why. He said, I've been walking around aimlessly. And I don't know why I'm here. I said, this is why you're here. I gave him a book. So you can see. And then I was in Reading once and a girl came up. She was crying. I said to her, oh, what have I done wrong? She said, my grandmother just died. And I just had this sudden urge to want to go into town and speak to someone. And there I was. So we spoke for about 15 minutes. And then she walked off with a Bhagavad Gita. So the point I'm making is that Krishna's in the heart of everyone. And in order to give people Krishna consciousness, it's coming through the devotees now. It's coming through the devotees. And therefore we have to be ready to give people. But it's not like we're proud. It's not like we're thinking it's coming from me. This is coming from me. Like Sukadeva Goswami is not thinking. Who could be more qualified than Sukadeva Goswami to speak about Bhagavatam? I mean, maybe the Charis, Prabhupada. But still he's thinking, it's not coming from me. So we're carrying all the mercy which is coming from the spiritual world. But if we think it's coming from us, and we're doing it, then we're not going to be able to give it properly. Yeah. What am I giving? I'm giving my false ego to people. And it's not going to work. They're not going to accept it. Yeah. So, when Arjuna went to visit Dwarka, Yudhisthira Maharaj was thinking, where is he? He was taking a long time, didn't return. Yudhisthira Maharaj is seeing all these inauspicious omens, and he could see that Kali Yuga was coming. Quick. And then Arjuna arrived, and it's described that Arjuna had lost his effulgence, he was crying and just really felt dejected. So Yudhisthira Maharaj said, well, he first asked, how's Krishna and all the Yadu dynasty, how are they doing? But Arjuna couldn't answer. So Yudhisthira Maharaj understood that Krishna had left the planet. And so has the Yadu dynasty. They've all left. And Arjuna was remembering. He was remembering all those times that Krishna was with him on the battlefield. And he was saying, yeah, the battlefield of Kurukshetra, it was like an ocean. And all these great warriors, Bhishma, Drona, Acharya, Jayadrath, with these great warriors, it was like an ocean with Tamingala fish in it. And somehow Arjuna had to cross that ocean. And because Krishna was driving his chariot, not a single hair on his head was touched. But then when Arjuna was returning from Dwarka with Krishna's queens, some simple coward villagers attacked him and they took the queens. Of course, this was also Krishna, but that's another story. They took the queens and Arjuna couldn't do anything. And he was saying, I had the same Gandiva bow, I'm the same Arjuna, firing the same arrows, driving the same chariot, pulled by the same horses, but I couldn't do anything. Why? And he was thinking, well, because Krishna wasn't there. Krishna's left me. And we can also have this kind of same mentality in our service, maybe. I'll use book distribution as an example. You go to a town and you smash it. Have you heard that example? Do you use that example these days? I smashed it. Yeah? You still use that, yeah? Yeah, you go to a town and you, just like Arjuna smashed it on the battlefield. Didn't he? With all the war. He smashed it because Krishna was there with him. So I was in a town and I smashed it. I did 100 books, 50 books, 30, 40, 20, whatever, 10. And the next day you go to the same town and there's nothing. It's like you got COVID written on your forehead. People don't even want to go near you. And you say, well, I was the same town, I was distributing the same books, I was using the same lines, like Arjuna is saying here, same bow, same chariot, but nothing. And then you think, oh, Krishna's abandoned me. And quite often with new devotees, they have this mentality that sometimes you're not getting a result, and they even start crying. You've seen it. And you think, oh, Krishna's left me. He's not here. But the question is, has Krishna left you? And then Arjuna was thinking, you're saying Krishna's not here anymore. But then he remembered Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. And that satisfied him. And of course, now he's showing the mood of separation from Krishna, with Pralamba. Krishna, he wants to bring out these emotions in his devotees. So the point is, when it was tough, did you actually think of Krishna? And most of the time when it's difficult, we do think of Krishna, even more. Because that's what Krishna wants. He wants us to focus our energy and mind and consciousness on him and not just on the external activity. Quite often we do. We just focus on the externals and we forget about the and therefore Krishna makes it difficult. He puts us in a situation. This is why book distribution is a very good service to realize this. And you do. Krishna's put me in that situation because he wants me to think of him, not the external activity, not how many books am I doing, how much Lakshmi, how many this. Or if you're cooking in the kitchen, you're just focusing on the externals, not, I'm doing this for Krishna. And then Arjuna remembered the Bhagavad Gita. So the second part of that verse Prabhupada quoted, Savasya Chamriti Sanavistumata Smriti Gano Parnanam Cha Vedesh Cha Sarve Aham Eva Vedyo Vedanta Krit Vedavid Eva Cha Aham. Krishna says, with the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, knower of the Vedas. So the Vedic literature is there to help us understand Krishna and help us become Krishna conscious. Krishna wants us to think of him. Just like in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan are constantly absorbed in the force of Krishna. When Krishna's out in the forest with the gopas, he sometimes likes to sneak away and meet Radharani. And some, sorry. And Shishi Radha Gopurana Sitaram Lakshmana Hanuman Shishi Goni Tai Ki. And he likes to spend time with Radharani, and sometimes he's away for the whole afternoon. But when he comes back to the gopis, it's like he's only been away for a second. He's just disappeared behind that tree and he's back. So when Krishna's coming back after visiting Radharani, he's crying. And he's described that he's crying so much that the floor gets completely damp. And then when he's with the gopas, he likes to bring out this feeling of separation all the time with the devotees. He disappears, and then the gopas are looking for him. And they can't find him. And they think, well, Krishna's disappeared. We're never, ever going to see him again. And then they start crying. See, everyone in the spiritual world is crying. Krishna's crying, the gopis are crying, the gopis are crying, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda. I think Gaura Govinda Maharaj once said that. What did he say? This is the school of crying. Did he say that? Yeah, one devotee asked him, he said, well, what if you can't cry? He said, well, cry because you're not able to cry. So in the spiritual world, everyone's crying. What are they crying over? Me too. We also cry. Actually, I don't so much, but maybe I should. Because my heart's so hard, I can't. But crying is a good thing, crying for Krishna. Yeah. And then Krishna returns, he appears all of a sudden, and then, oh, Krishna, you're back. So we missed you. Yeah. So Lord Chaitanya is coming in the same mood. He's coming. He's experiencing the mood of Srimati Radharani, Vipralamba, separation. So this is why Lord Chaitanya is always searching for Krishna, because he's Radharani inside, searching for Krishna. And he wants to give this to us, to everyone. Everyone on this planet. Actually, I meant to speak about Ramanujacharya because it's his disappearance day as well today. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give this freely to everyone. And all the Vaishnava Acharyas, including Ramanujacharya, they have paved the way for Lord Chaitanya philosophically. They've paved the way for Lord Chaitanya to come and give us the highest thing. Vraja Bhakti. So who is Ramanujacharya? He is the partial expansion of Anantashesh and Lakshman. It said he was born in 1017, which is just over 1,000 years ago. He came just before Madhavacharya, of whose disappearance day was yesterday. So Ramanujacharya, he defeated all the impersonalist philosophers before him. So Lord Buddha came, because at that time, people were eating meat, killing animals, and they were using the pretext of Vedic wisdom to do it. Because in Vedas it says there's a certain type of people, you can eat meat as long as you do a certain sacrifice. So they were using that as an excuse. So Lord Buddha came and he denied the authority of the Vedas and he established the philosophy of nothingness. If you can understand it. Can you understand nothingness? I ain't got a clue. Anyway. So then Sankaracharya came, who is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. And he established Vasishtha Dvaitavad. Sankaracharya established the philosophy of oneness. Everything is one. Krishna is one, and all these energies and everything is one, including the marginal energy. We're all one with Krishna. And that's a completely impersonalist philosophy. So Ramanuja's philosophy is Vasishtha Dvaitavad. Oneness, qualified oneness. God is one, but all his energies and everything, they all have a relationship with him, including his marginal potency. Everything has a relationship with him. And then finally Lord Chaitanya came, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Inconceivable, simultaneous, one but different. So this is called the evolution of philosophy, where it's coming down. But ultimately, everything from all the previous acharyas, it's all meant for Lord Chaitanya to establish his philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So he can spread Krishna consciousness throughout the whole world. And how did he do that? Chanting, dancing like a madman. So all these philosophies, all these very complicated philosophies, which most of us don't understand anyway, it all just culminates to one thing. Chanting and dancing. Right? It's so simple that we can forget. And that's Maya. So once Ramanuja's disciples asked him, how can we understand this philosophy? It's so deep. You know, the philosophy in your books. And Ramanuja said, it all culminates in one, everything culminates in one thing in my books, and that's surrender. But they couldn't understand him. So he said, there's a deaf and dumb man outside, bring him in. So they brought him in. And he asked the man to touch his feet. And the man was trembling, and he paid four dandavats and touched Ramanuja Acharya's lotus feet. And immediately he started trembling, and he went into ecstasy. So his disciples were like stunned. They said, how is this possible? And Ramanuja Acharya said, it's because he paid four dandavats with in full surrender. Yeah. And therefore, he said, he's dumb, he's deaf, he can't understand a word of philosophy. Right? But because he did it in full surrender, he's achieved the perfection of life. Like that. What was that verse? What's the verse in Svetsvatara Upanishad? What is it? Yasya Devi Parabhakti Yata Devi Tata Guru Dasya Ita Kahita Ata Prakasanda Mahatmana. And to those great souls who have unflinching faith in Guru and Krishna, the import of Vedic knowledge is automatically revealed to them in the heart. So when we're surrendered to Krishna, we're surrendered to the Guru, but with all the knowledge we know, if we're not surrendered, we're not going to understand it. But that surrender will help us. And it's ultimate, it's revelation. The super soul reveals it to us in the heart. Like that. So Ramanuja Acharya was actually, he was actually, eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he's in the Gaura Leela. So you might know the story. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya explains who Ramanuja Acharya is in Gaura Leela. So once Ramanuja Acharya was taking darshan on Lord Jagannath, and Lord Jagannath spoke to him. He said, I want you to go to Navadvip, because in the future, very soon, I'm going to come as Gaurasundara in this beautiful golden form and spread the love of God everywhere. And he showed Ramanuja his form. Ramanuja Acharya was just stunned, and immediately he wanted to just go out and start preaching about Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Jagannath said, no, it's the time isn't right yet. You need to go back to your disciples and preach Dasya Ras, servitorship, in honor, awe and reverence, Lakshmi Narayan. Because Ramanuja Acharya is actually his, head of the Sri Sampradaya, which is a Lakshmi Sampradaya, comes from Lakshmi. And their main worship is the worship of Lakshmi Narayan. They do not worship Radha Krishna like that. Whereas we come from the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, coming from Lord Brahma. Yeah. So he said, yeah, you go back. So internally he was thinking of Lord Chaitanya, but externally, he was just preaching about Dasyara. He said, when I come down, you can take birth. So when Lord Chaitanya was here, Ramanuja take birth. He took birth as Ananta, a devotee called Ananta. It's funny, he was also in kind of partial expansion of Ananta. So he takes birth in Gaura Leela as Ananta Vipra. And he's living in his cottage underneath a huge banyan tree, and he's worshipping these beautiful deities of Lakshmi Narayan. One day he's invited to Lord Chaitanya's wedding. Lord Chaitanya's getting married to Lakshmi Priya, Jagannath. So he arrives at Jagannath Mishra's house, and he sees them sitting there. Lord Chaitanya is sitting next to Lakshmi Priya, and they're decorated in beautiful silk and jewels, and he can see Lakshmi Narayan, and he goes into ecstasy. And he starts dancing like crazy in the middle of this wedding, And then he comes to his senses and he realizes he's not appropriate. You know, there's guests here and it's a wedding. I'm dancing crazy. So then he goes back to his hut and he sits in front of his deities and he's meditating. He's thinking how fortunate I am, and actually, even though I'm so fallen, I was able to experience this. And then Lord Chaitanya just appears in his golden form, and it's described that he's, Lord Chaitanya is like more effulgent and brilliant than millions of moons. He's there in his beautiful silk turban, silk clothes, jewels, and then he manifests his form, his forearmed form in front of Ananta, and he puts his lotus feet on Ananta's head and disappears. So we can see these acharyas, they're not ordinary personalities. They're very important personalities in our line. So everything is to culminate to Lord Chaitanya coming and establishing the Sankirtan movement. Yeah. And this is it. And we're part of it. When Krishna comes, he does his lila and he goes. When Lord Chaitanya comes, he doesn't take, his lila carries on. And we're a part of Lord Chaitanya's lila. This is it. All the Vaishnava acharyas, Prabhupada, this is still Lord Chaitanya's lila. Carrying on. We're part of it. So the question we want to ask is, do we want to be a part of it or not? So we have to focus as much as we can on trying to purify ourselves, purify our senses, become Krishna conscious. And everything is given to us on a plate, actually. We just need to be here, associate with the devotees. Because Sankirtan has many aspects to it. It has many aspects to it. It purifies the atmosphere, the ether. It purifies the person you're giving it to, individual. And it purifies the receiver and the giver, us. But the more the more Krishna conscious we are, to the degree we take it ourselves, to that degree we can give it to others. Right? Because you can't give something you haven't got. Yeah, so let's focus on purifying ourselves at the same time giving it to others. Because then when you give to others, then you also get. So there's two ways you're getting there. Yeah, you're getting it by purifying yourself, sadhana, association, service, and you're also getting spiritual benefit by giving to others. Like that. So we should try to perform this yajna. And it all culminates in chanting Hare Krishna in Kali Yuga. The original of where this is the only way to chant Hare Krishna. It's so simple, we forget. And Maya kind of just makes us think, no, it must be something else. It can't be that simple. Just like with the Mayavadis in Varanasi when Lord Chaitanya was there, they were calling him fanatic. They were a fanatic. He's just chanting and dancing. And they were puffed up and proud. So Maya is very clever. She comes in, even as devotees, you know, she can come in and make us think, oh, there must be something else. And there isn't. You saw the kirtan today. We was here, right? Of course. We experienced the kirtan. Yeah. Where do you experience that? Anywhere in the material world. This time of morning, where do you experience that in the material world? It's because this isn't the material world. At that point, it's all to do with our consciousness. Prabhupada said these temples are not in the material world, they're in Vaikuntha. This is Vaikuntha. Jaya. Hare Krishna. Okay. Any comments or questions? Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. I really enjoyed the pastimes of Ramanujacharya. Very nice. My question is, a couple of days ago we had Advaita Acharya's appearance day. And you mentioned a very interesting point that how all these previous and different personalities being somehow or another introducing step by step the advent of Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison, obviously because Advaita Acharya is an expansion of Mahavishnu, we put also a lot of effort, a lot of focus and gratitude towards Advaita Acharya, respectfully, to invoke the presence of Lord Chaitanya. So how can we see the greater scheme, the greater picture behind like Buddha, Ramanujacharya, Madhavacharya, Madhavendra Puri, all these different individuals which created the path of Lord Chaitanya. And then in culmination of the one who spread it the most, you know, like Srila Prabhupada. So how can we see the bigger picture of like how they've been invoking the presence of Lord Chaitanya respectfully in connection with Advaita Acharya?
How can we see the bigger picture? You would come up with a question like that, wouldn't you? Okay. Only he could. Srinivas.
Well, in the beginning, when Prabhupada came to America, right, he wanted devotees to do 64 rounds, and he couldn't do it. Yeah. Prabhupada, he adjusted everything. Yeah, even in Mayapur, Prabhupada said, we don't need all these shops, and it was very simple, just chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours is enough. So you could say Advaita Acharya, Madhavendra Puri and all these Acharyas, they were on that platform and just simply chanting Hare Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he was just doing his chanting, and then this commander, King Jai Singh's commander came and said, can I serve you? And he said, you can build the temple of Radha Govinda. So Prabhupada said in this book, what Giridhar Swami wrote about Jew temple, that you devotees, you're not on the level where you can chant, meditate on the deity within the mind. I've given you a path how you can become the path of purity. So the acharyas, they come to teach according to what individually, what the audience need at a certain time, place, circumstances. So Prabhupada came at a time when to give the process for the next 10,000 years.
Yeah, but I think the question was how can we understand that that is all to culminate Lord Chaitanya? Govinda Prabhu, question? Anything? No. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that story I mentioned about Ramanujacharya being, that story Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in the Navadvipa Mahamaya about Ramanujacharya being an internal associate of Lord Chaitanya and Gauralila. That kind of solidifies the fact that, yeah, it's coming. He came specifically for that. That kind of solidifies the evolution of philosophy kind of understanding. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions it. Yeah, Govinda.
Thank you. And as you're pointing out, in the Navadvipa Mahamaya, Ramanuja is meeting Lord Chaitanya, and all the other four Sampradaya Acharyas, they also meet Lord Chaitanya, and he gives different messages to all of them, how they should.
Yeah.
They're all like in ecstasy, but he's like saying, well, I don't want you to tell everyone about me, just you do your little bit.
Yeah.
So all these Acharyas we're seeing them this way. So I once asked this question I've got a friend, now a professor, he's in America, and he's from the Nimbarka Sampradaya, and his comment was, he looks at this book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur as like, it's his like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's kind of Leela. He's like, he doesn't accept this as factual, that, for example, Nimbarkacharya met Gauranga, etc., etc. So, like, within our Sampradaya, we see all these Sampradayacharyas, they're meeting Lord Chaitanya and he's having dialogue with them. But from other Sampradaya's point of view, they don't recognize that as being factual.
Yeah, I mean, even a Sri Sampradaya, they don't recognize Lord Chaitanya. That's Radha Krishna Nayanya. And because they're not worshipping Lord Chaitanya like that, they can never achieve the perfection of life, Radha and Krishna. And that's why they worship Lakshmi Narayan. The most they can get is Vaikuntha. They can never go to Vraj. In Kali Yuga, the only way you can go to Vraj is by worshipping Lord Chaitanya. No other way. So we have the highest from everything. Prayojan Prabhu.
It seems to come to one thing. I was thinking Prabhupada, his ability was by following the order of his spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And you can see by Prabhupada's prayers that actually he says, I can't do anything. They're all malechas. But you can. And this confirms what's happening in this verse. It's the super soul empowers when you follow the instruction and guidance of the spiritual master, that everything will manifest as it did with Prabhupada, and also that he was praying, he was asking for help. And he was realizing his own, or what he saw, his own inability to empower the super soul, the super soul to empower him. It was like a relationship. He ended up just by following the order of his spiritual master very sincerely and risking. It was a risk he took. And that's the way I see it, that actually it was a simple thing that he followed the order of his spiritual master. Everything else came from that.
Okay, we finish there. One more question.
I just liked the point. In December, I heard a lecture from Kadamba Karana Swami in Simhachalam. And he was saying that these great acharyas, they left us. Like you said, they made possible this path, and they also left a lot of knowledge. But what is important is that they left us the blessings. They prayed for all of us. And these prayers are still here. And I think that's how can we be grateful that we can see all these acharyas in our spiritual master, and that our spiritual master is has full access to these blessings, to things, and to Krishna, thanks to the purity.
Yeah. Thank you. Gyantaraj Bhagavatam Ki.
Jai.
Jai.